Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
Amen. Father, I just thank you, God, right now for this opportunity to come before you. And Father, I just pray right now, whatever is being shared, that you would be glorified. We thank you and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank also Pastors Eric and Sister Jessica for their leadership and their wisdom. Amen. And I'm just blessed to be a part of the ministry. See some familiar faces, especially in men's home. You know, men's home got me. Amen. So I just want to thank everybody for coming out. And we want to go ahead and share a little bit of the word for you that I don't plagiarize. Is that how you say it? Yeah. But some of the things that Pastor said Sunday, I had already written down, because this message has been going on for like 2 weeks. Okay, so if you hear some of the same thing, it's not me, it's not Pastor Eric, it's God. Amen? So we're going to talk a little bit about one of the greatest obstacles in a Christian's life. See, the title, if you want to call it, is A Life of Becoming. Okay? A Life of Becoming. And most people would say, Christians would say, being a Christian is praying, reading the word, going to church, singing songs, tithing. And that is a part of it. But authentic Christianity is becoming. As we'll see a little bit later on, is how every day we're not standing still. As men and women of God, we're going forward. But there's obstacles. And one of the obstacles that God uses in this life is brokenness. Amen? We do and we do and we assume that that's the Christian life. And, you know, the Bible tells us now. It says we were made in God's masterpiece. And He's created us in Christ so that we can do the things that He's planned for us a long time ago. So doing is a part of your life, but it's not the sum total. It's not the end. As we do things for God, as we do things and we serve for God, our end thought is not for that actual experience to be the end. The end of doing something for God is to become more and more like Him. And so we want to read a portion of Scripture in Ephesians. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 18. It's kind of long, but it has a great deal of what we want to talk about this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. Now I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version, but if you have a Bible, read it along with me, and we will be blessed. Amen? Starting at verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live already delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So death worketh in us, but life in you. So we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised us up, the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen? So this is what we want to share tonight, is that the life of faith that God has ordained and planned for us from the beginning, and that is that we receive Christ in our hearts and allowing him to change us. Now, this is where we want to get to for brokenness. Now, I was raised on a farm, and I know you're probably tired of hearing about farmer jokes, but this is not a joke. We used to break horses. My older brother used to break horses. And I was a little bitty fella. So he would snub the horse up real close so where the horse couldn't put his head down, because that's how they get their power. Well, their legs too, but they get their weight going with their head down. So he would snub them up, put the blanket on them, and they would buck, and they would go on, and they would act up. And finally, he would get the saddle on them, and then he would have me crawl up, or he would put me up there, because I only weighed about 50 pounds. And the horse would just go back and forth, but he wouldn't go. But what we were doing was getting him used to having something on his back, okay? Because eventually, he will be broken. Now, we know in our lives, we have to be broken. I don't know about you, but I was one of those people that I wanted to live for God. Yeah, I got broke there by having to go someplace else. But when I got to that point where I didn't want to do this no more, that was the time that I allowed God's hand to be the hand that I listened to and I obeyed. Now, this horse would buck like crazy as soon as we unsnubbed him. My brother would be on him. But if you notice one thing about the horse, I'll tell you this. The horse, he didn't mind when we brought the feed in front of him. He would eat. And he didn't mind when we would fill up the water trough. He would drink water. And he didn't mind being taken in out of the rain when, or it was too hot to be brought in. But don't get on my back. I don't want to be broken. So this is his reaction would be to buck. And I don't know about you, but when we resist things that God has for us, we are a prime candidate for brokenness. In that brokenness, we can see and know by reading what the Word of God says that there is a breakthrough. He's not just breaking us just to break us. He's breaking us to be more like him. Because when he died on the cross and we received his spirit, and when we said, okay, I want you to come into my life and I want to live for you, this is the spirit that he's trying to, and we want to resist it through issues that start with pride. Pride is one of the first things that starts to get to raise its head when we are given an option or an opportunity to do things that God would desire us to do. And in that, we have to understand that, God, I want to be there. I want to do this. But I want to be like that horse. You can bring the water. I'll go to church on Sunday. I will do what I need to do here and there, but don't ask me to do certain things that I don't want to do. And God is saying, well, this is not what I died on the cross for. I died on the cross so you would have an opportunity to speak to our loving Father, because before that, we didn't have that opportunity. And when he gave us that opportunity through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, we are now able to go through to the throne of God. Amen? And with that, God is saying, okay, I need you to be more like my son. I want to give you this. I want to give you that. I want to help you to help others. Not only for their sake, but for my sake. Because when you do those things, you glorify him. And that is the reason why Jesus has said to us, come unto me, and he says that you got to die daily. Because if we don't die, we ain't going to live. Amen? We know about the seed, right? The seed ain't going to do nothing until it's till it dies. You can put a seed anywhere, you know, in a plate, put lights on it, whatever, but it ain't going to die. But you put it in the ground, it's going to die, and when it dies, life springs up. So when he breaks us, and he breaks off those things that causes us to not to have the relationship that we need to have with him, he will give us more and more life of him. So, this life of faith has to do with allowing him to change our beliefs, our habits, mindsets, interests, and concerns. So that when we do have these, we will become more and more like him. Now, as we continue to go forward in the things of God, he takes us to situations where we need to recognize that, look, I need some help. I know I got an issue. I know I got a problem. And God is saying, okay, here I am. Let me help you. And we're saying, okay, but just don't do that. And then we say, God says, well, look, I want to help you. I want you to get rid of this because it is hindering our relationship. It is an obstacle in our relationship. So God, he brings and he allows things to happen so that we will be able to see that obstacle and have a choice as to what we want to do with it. We want to keep it and just hope God overlooks it. Or we're going to say, God, here I am. You take it away. And when we come to that point, then we will allow God to do what he needs to do in our lives. And then when he does those things, we are more and more like him. Now, getting back to doing We know the story about Mary and Martha, right? Jesus was on his way to a certain city to go to some of his friend's house. And when he went there, when he was going there, he got there, and he was going to Mary and Martha's house. Now, I assume that they were cooking and cleaning and getting things ready, which is a good thing. Amen? Now, when Jesus got there, Mary, she quit doing that and went and sat at Jesus' feet to hear what he had to say. Martha got upset, and she goes to Jesus and complains to him. This is what he didn't do. He didn't tell Martha, you were wrong. You're in sin. Because he knew what her goal was. But he told her, he says, look, Mary, Martha, you're worried about a lot of stuff. But what Mary is doing is better. It's better. So she went to the feet of Jesus. And when she went to the feet of Jesus to hear what he had to say, it was better than being a busy, busy, busy person. Amen? So Jesus said, he said to Martha, why are you worrying about all this stuff? Because he said, Mary has chosen the good part. And he says, when she chose this good part, this part will never be taken away from her. Now, we know that when we have opportunities like that, we can choose, and God comes in and he gently touches our hearts and our minds and he admonishes us. But then there's times like Apostle Paul, and I'd like for everybody to go there, 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, where Apostle Paul was talking about his experience that he had. Because see, God will use whatever he uses to accomplish the things for his glory and for his honor. Verse number 8 says, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. So, when we begin to think that, man, I just can't take this no more, I can't handle this no more, we're a prime candidate for a breakthrough. Okay? But we got to be broken first. Okay? Because being broken first is a prerequisite for the breakthrough. Okay? Now, I know that God will never give us a temptation more than we can handle. And if it is, he'll give us a way out. But when God wants to make a point with us, and if he needs to press us to that point, where we don't feel like we want to stay single, keep the job, stay married, we're prime candidates for brokenness. Because when we do that, we are telling God, we are surrendering our will to him. That's what brokenness is. Brokenness is that it's not my will, but it's your will. It's God's will. Because when we begin to see ourselves as sufficient in our lives, then we are excluding God, and we cannot allow our lives to be fruitful because of our self-sufficiency. You know, we got it all together, and when I have a hard spot, I can handle it. Okay? Well, God, if that's the case, then we don't need God. I know I wouldn't. And I'm going to tell you something else. For a long time, I didn't think I did in certain areas. That's why I kept backsliding. Because, oh, I can handle it. I know this scripture, and I've been around this long. I can do this. And the devil was over in the corner, winking his eye. And I'm giving him a thumbs up. Because I am counting on myself. But when I realized that I knew that I could, I don't care what, how many times I came to church, I don't care how many Bible studies that I went through, when the enemy came and slapped me around, I couldn't stand. But I hated it. And God was saying, well, just surrender your will to mine. And so one of the times that when I did get that breakthrough, I had a number of them, and I'm going to have more. Amen? Because we are all, and I'm not trying to make it all kumbaya, but we're all in that same situation. We might not have the break, the brokenness that each other have, but I know mine was with drugs and women and money. And so God didn't just do it all at once. I had to go through some things. Amen? I had to go through some things. And I did. And God knows. And I'm so glad I did, because when I see it now, when I know that I was broken and I got a breakthrough, the desire was not there, even though I seen it. That desire was with God, knowing that if he did it for me, he can do it for you. And in that times, that gave me the confidence and the courage to keep going, and knowing that whatever obstacles that came before me, yes, I may have a hard time and I may struggle, but I know that God has did it and he can do it again, and he'll do it for you. And he'll do it for you. Amen? And so this is why we have to understand that brokenness is a prerequisite to being, having a breakthrough. So when we get to the opportunity to see our life change, and we know that we've been through a lot of heartaches, We got to understand one thing. God's in control of everything. And first thing we're going to say, well, if he's in control, why is he making me do this? Well, he's saying, look at yourself. And sometimes when we are broken, we will see those cracks and crannies. That is a weakness that he has given us an opportunity to shore up before the action starts. So when we become broken, we know that it's a process, and that process is to use whatever God desires to use to strip away whatever is in our lives that shouldn't be, or that it's going to become one of those obstacles. He will use brokenness to accomplish his goal. So, when we know that brokenness is an act of our will being turned over to God's will. It's also for yes to his will, even though that my will is still up there, but I'm not going to put it ahead of God's will. And when we come to that area, sometimes it's a little frightening, especially when we say it out loud. Because we got to back it up. And if we can't back it up, he's there to help us make it through. And that is where that courage comes, that witness comes, and the power of the Holy Spirit is evident in your life. Because he said that when we go through these things, he is doing this so that we would become more and more like him. Because we die every day. Now, verse 11 says in chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians verse number 11, says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake." In other words, you're going to go through it for Jesus' sake. Okay? And so when we start going through it and we start wondering, why is this happening to us? Why is this happening to me? God is saying, you're doing it for Jesus. Don't you remember you said that you wanted to live for him? And so that the life also of Jesus, I get this, might be made manifest in your mortal flesh. Okay, this is one of the times that mortal flesh shows you that it can be controlled. Amen? It's not something separate from our thought process. I can't go and live for the devil and say it's the flesh, and over here in the mind and saying it's Jesus, because that's twisted. Amen? So as believers, we know that we're going to come into some heartache, and we got to endure. So if we recognize this, because God is doing a work in us to recreate what was created in us. Okay, now we're new creatures, we're new creations, and this is the recreation part. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse number 2, excuse me. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses number 1 through 3. "As for you, you were once dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit which is now at work in those who are disobedient." Verse number 3. "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. And we were by nature deserving wrath." NIV. So we come to a point where we realize that brokenness is necessary. Another point, it hurts. It's painful at times, depending on your brokenness and what God is trying to get to. Like I said earlier, not everybody's going to have the same one. But we know, for an example, when Pastor hurt his knee, I don't know if he did, but he said, "Oh, this is painful. So I'll go and get something off of the counter." And it didn't work. For a minute, maybe. But not good enough. He says, "I can tell something else is wrong." So he goes to the doctor. And the doctor tries different things to see. Now, I'm adding a little to it. But this is the point is get to this. And the doctor tells him, he says, "Okay, well, we'll try this therapy. You do this kind of regimen to see if that'll strengthen your knee up." And it don't work. So the doctor says, "Okay, well, I'm going to send you to a specialist." And that specialist off the top says, "We're going to need to operate. We're going to need to cut this thing open and take out what's not necessary and put in what is necessary so you will be better." Now, that's what God does with us. When we get broke down so much, so it's like, "Okay, God, here I am. I'm here. Just do what you need to do." And he begins to work on you, and you might even say, "Well, I didn't mean it like that." Because it gets to be painful. But we know that with that pain, that pain is there for a reason, because when God, our Father, does a work on us, he's not working on us to kill us. He's working on us to make us better. So after that healing begins, things begin to be better than it was before it started. And that's like it's in our lives. We can see the thing, then we know it's wrong, so, but we're going to take a Band-Aid effect. And we're going to try to just do what so much, but the problem is still there. And once we realize that it's only God can remove it, that takes some of the pain away. Not all of it, because he wants you to learn something. And that is, the Bible tells us also, we're corrected sometimes, not because he wants to hurt us, but he wants us to learn something. Amen? I need to learn a lot. And the thing is that once we have begun to learn that, God, I'm living for you, and I surrender my life to you. I'm tired of going back and forth. I want you to go ahead and break me. Now, that's another thing I wanted to mention. There's two things. To be broken. You can ask to be broken, and God will break you. But you cannot go to the hospital and tell the doctor how to operate. Amen? So, the second thing is this. God will break you without you asking. Now, that breaking might be a little bit longer, a little bit harder. Because I didn't want to be broken. I wanted to live for God, but I didn't want to be broken. And he's saying, okay, well, the only way you're going to get through this gate is that you're going to have to be broken. And when I surrendered my life to that point, yeah, I didn't quite know how to talk to people. I didn't quite know how to, I wanted them to see me the same, right? I don't know how they see me, but I wanted them to see me the same that I thought would be pleasing to me instead of pleasing to God. And God continued to break that down. And so when we begin to recognize that God has a plan, and not only has a plan, but and you get a history of how God has spoken in your life, it gives you courage. Because if you say, God, come on, and just, I surrender my will to you, go ahead and do what you need to do. I know it's going to hurt, but I'm just going to close my eyes. That way, God says, okay, bro, here you go. And he begins to do the work. Sometimes he does it just right then. And sometimes it takes a little while, but you know you're in the process of getting that because you begin to have emotional breakthroughs. Now, that's not necessarily the thing that shows that you've had a breakthrough is through emotion. It's not, that's not necessary. Now, it's good to cry, good to shed tears, because there's tears of joy. Also, you can get a breakthrough and you be so happy, you run around the church or you run to your house or you scream and holler in your apartment. So when God gives you that breakthrough, you will know when you got that breakthrough. And I'm telling you, just almost like they say, I've never had a baby, but my wife did. And she said, oh, yeah, it hurts like crazy. Would you do it again? Oh, yeah. You said, because after they have the baby, it's like, boom, it's all there. But the thing is that when you get a breakthrough, God speaks to your heart and strengthens your faith. You begin to look different. You begin to talk different. You begin to walk different. Speaking of walking, when God breaks you, he breaks you, but he leaves something there to remind you. Now, let's take Moses, for instance. Moses, he killed off one of the Egyptians there, and even though he was second in command, he could have had all this royal stuff, but he didn't. You know, he wanted to say, okay, well, I'm this. So he killed the other guy. And then he got ran out. Now, this is how God does. He could have stayed there probably, and maybe would have went to jail or whatever. But God sent him to the desert. Now you try to get broken for 40 years in the desert. Took him 40 years before that burning bush came. And he began to, God gave him the instructions. Abraham. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, all the way through the 22nd chapter, God was breaking Abraham. Because he had a plan for his life. And see, that's another thing. God has a plan for each one of us. Now, we may not know exactly what it is right then and there, but it's our responsibility to stay in tune in our lane and let God speak to us. Now, Paul, he had a different experience. His experience was a thorn in the side. He asked God to take it away. God said, no, he wasn't going to do it. Well, the studying and whatever, the thing is that he didn't take the thorn out because Paul would have had a big head because God was going to take him to that third heaven that nobody has seen. So he could have been walking around bragging about what he knew and being a Pharisee of the Pharisees anyway in his whole life. But being taken to the third heaven after he was converted could have just taken him all the way out from what God wanted him to do. And that was to go and spread the gospel to the Gentiles. But if he had all this knowledge and vision and things, people would have, he would have taken it upon himself and bragged about himself. So God says, no, I'm gonna leave it there to keep you humble. And that's another thing. In order to get a breakthrough, we have to humble ourselves. Pride is not going to allow you to receive a breakthrough. Pride will not do that. Now we have Jesus. This is the week. Amen? Now Jesus went to the cross, and he was broken on a cross. But not for himself. He was broken for us. He was broken. When God told him, he says, I want you to go to the cross. And he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And God was saying, this is my son. And he was obedient to that. He was obedient unto death. So brokenness is a necessary part of a Christian's life. And as I said earlier, it can be different for each person. My breakthrough, my brokenness may not be the same as Chris's or David's, and so on and so forth. But we know that when God confronts us, he doesn't just want us to be Lord over most of our lives. He wants us to be Lord over all of our lives. So he targets these areas that have this self-will and self-sufficiency that causes us to eliminate our relationship with God. And so, when we start relying on self, then God uses brokenness to remove those things that leads us to the thoughts and behaviors that don't glorify God. And so we can give every moment and every day and full dependence upon God. Amen? So let's be a people to desire a brokenness when we know what the issue is. Amen? We can go ahead and stand. So let's open our hearts and ask God to reveal our selfish strongholds and Let them break any unhealthy behaviors.